pray that these things be of the Lord. And Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit or the abyss, and shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. The reason that has been so heavy on my mind is because these end times eschatological themes have been so heavy on my mind. Now, as I stand before you today, as I'm sure any of these men would, we would stand and tell you that there's no interpretation of these things that we can be 100% unmovable and dogmatic about. We should be able to agree to disagree on eschatological things. Eschatology means the focus and the study of end times. We should be able to agree to disagree on some of these things. I know some of my interpretations are disagreed with by some brethren I count very, very sound and good and learned. And who knows, but time may show that they may be right and I may be wrong. But brothers and sisters, I'd like to focus today on a bound devil. A bound devil. Because I don't know about y'all, but he gives me some grief sometimes. He'd give me grief a lot of times, and still does. Now, as we look at this, he said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, and he was bound. He cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. First and foremost, I'm going to try to give you a real fast version of the way I see the 1,000 years being spoken of here. First, some things that would behoove you to remember. He may literally be talking about 1,000 years here, but I don't think he is. 8,000 is a very general statement in the Bible that basically refers to a bunch of, okay? We don't know exactly how many that is, okay? But it's 1,000. The Lord owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Not literally 1,000, but 1,000 hills. The Lord commanded this covenant to 1,000 generations. Not just 1,000, but a bunch. So you get the drift there. Now, if it is literally 1,000, I'll stand corrected. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you today, I believe this 1,000 years wherein Satan is bound, this 1,000 years wherein we're able to somehow fellowship with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings in a way that couldn't ever have been dreamed of in all of history, I believe we're in it right now. I believe we're in it right now. Now, some people believe it's still yet to come in a very skewed time sense at the end of time, that it's just going to, as a moment here, it will pass on in whatever realm in which this takes place. I'm not going to throw any rocks at them. But brothers and sisters, I don't know about y'all, but I like the thought that when Jesus comes back, that's just an end of all of it. Amen. I want to go to heaven. Amen. I'm tired of this place. I'm not tired of y'all, although y'all can make me tiresome every once in a while, okay? You know, I've heard Brother Ronald Lawrence saying, if any of his church folks are here, y'all don't get a heart on him. He said, you know, pastoring would be a pretty good thing if it wasn't for folks. And pastoring and preaching and serving the Lord, it's a wonderful, wonderful liberation. Yes, but you know, folks are going to be folksy until the Lord comes back and cures us of all that, right? Y'all just try not to be so folky, okay? Try to be more Jesus-y and less folky. If for nobody else's sense than to praise and honor the Lord first and make it a little easier on your pastor second. I believe when he talks about it, he cast him in the boundless pit, he set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. We're talking about a period of time where the unfettered deception that ran rampant in this world, my friends, paganism, we're talking about idolatry, we're talking about savagery of every ilk. Are we living in a time now that has greatly improved from what it has been in the other 4,000 years of church history? And I'm readily well, amen that. Brothers and sisters, thank God for the influence of Jesus Christ in His church in this world. Amen. I'll tell you, we're getting persecuted more and more and more. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, you keep pressing the collar. Don't you let this world steal your cookie. Amen, you press the collar in Jesus Christ, because I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, this world, oh, I tell you, it crashed and burned to the ground had it not been for the influence of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and His church on governments, on families, families, on the home, and thank God, the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he said, just quickly, he said, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. And here we see, I think we're seeing a heavenly vision. And who's seated on the thrones in heaven? God the Father, God the Son. Amen. I like those thrones, and I love the ones who are sitting on top of them, okay? Yeah. He said, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. The souls that were all around them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now I believe this 1,000 years is between the coming on the scene, the first advent of Jesus Christ, and the coming second advent of Jesus Christ. Now it's been 2,000 years. But again, 1,000 just means a bunch. Will it be another 2,000 years? I hope not. But that's the Lord's business. Amen?
Amen.
So here in this inter-advental period, I believe is what we're dealing with here. And again, if I'm wrong on that, some of you can correct me on that. But he said the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Well, who is this rest of the dead? I've wrestled with that, I'm sure, just like everybody else has. But if you look at that word rest, it basically has with the idea of remnant. Now, remnant, a lot of times in the Word of God, points to a group of people. But not every time. Okay? Sometimes it just means remainder of whatever inanimate material or whatever concept is left. Not always talking about human beings. Okay? What's he talking about here? I typically tend to believe that here, the rest of the dead, talking about, what did he just say? He saw the souls of those in heaven. Right. And my friends, I trust that's where my soul and spirit substance is going to go one day. Yeah. But you know what? Unless Jesus translates me there, body, soul, and spirit, there's going to be a remnant of me that's going to stay right down here in the grave.
Right. Yeah.
The rest of them, my friends, I thank God for the circumcision made without hands. Yes. Amen. For the separating of the body, of the sin of flesh, from the soul and the spirit. So our soul and spirit can immediately awaken with the Lord in heaven after death, even though our body returns, my friends, to the worms of the earth. Right. But I'll tell you, there's coming a day when that rest, that remnant, yes, that part that's left over of you, triune being of God, is going to be raised up with power. Amen. And returned to Him who purchased it wholly, body, soul, and spirit.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
He said, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And kindred, I'm here to tell you, I thank God that when Jesus was resurrected 2,000 years ago from a borrowed tomb, that's the first resurrection. You may say, Brother Joe, but you're talking about something that's happening in the future. That's also the first resurrection. Any resurrection that's going to be in Christ, that's the first resurrection. Now somebody may say, well, that's being born again. And it may be, I don't know. But I think literally is what's being spoken of here is bodies. So I count the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is what? The first fruits of them that slept. Amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you, he was the prefiguring of what was to come, that great, grand jubilee, when all of these bodies that have returned to the dust and the sailors that have died in the bottom of the ocean and the little children, my friends, who may have been aborted from the womb by the murderous doctor, there's coming a great day when they're going to rise up and be joined again, body, soul, and spirit. The Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints. I trust my grandma's one of them, my daddy's one of them, Elder J.M. Myers is one of them. I can't wait to see them. But I'll tell you, first and foremost, I want to see Jesus Christ, my Lord, coming back, my friends, to raise up these bodies. What a great and wondrous day that will be. And shall reign with Him 1,000 years. He said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Thank God. Thank God. Hath no power. I'll tell you, Jesus Christ said, Satan hath nothing in me. That means, friends, if you're born again of the Lord's Spirit, he got nothing in you. He has no claim over you. Okay? And the power that he can exert over you is nothing compared to the power of faith which the Lord has implanted in a born again heart. But it's our faith that he's given us, right? Which means we must exercise it with responsibility and diligence. All right? He said, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So here before the second coming of Jesus Christ, we're going to see this great period in which we live. Where, my friends, there's victory. Not only in heaven, certainly, but also on earth.
Right.
And there's going to be a time, and it's going to be terrible, and it's going to be dreadful. and Satan's going to be loosed. Now somebody may say, why in the world would God loose Satan? That's a good question. I mean, Satan's wicked and evil. We spend our entire ministries preaching for Christ and against Satan.
That's right.
Why? It's a good question, a pertinent question. Why is it that God would suffer Satan to be loosed, to do his bidding, to be able to stir people in the wicked ways he wants to stir them, and to kill people in the way that he wants to kill them, and to destroy lives and homes and families the way that he desires to do it? Well, there's one thought, brothers and sisters, that I want you always to remember. God has given you faith. We've already talked about that just a little bit. When you were born again, the Spirit of God, one of the elements of the fruitful Spirit is that you have faith. And that faith, my friends, needs to be exercised. A faith that doesn't face any challenges really doesn't have any use to trust anything, does it? Kendra, let me tell you something. Satan challenges us. Somebody may say, I don't see where Satan's challenging me. Well, then you need to repent and do better.
Yeah.
Is that too plain? You don't have to invite me back.
That's right.
If Satan's not challenging you, then you need to buck up. Because you're not living the life in Christ that you ought to live.
Amen.
I'm going to tell y'all something. Down in the churches that among which I serve right now, Satan has been very active trying to destroy and to dissolve the foundations. Trying to draw away. I've got good friends down there. Good friends I've known for years that are just not living the lives that they ought to live. And not being the husbands that they ought to be. And they're not being the fathers that they ought to be. And they have just abdicated that responsibility and thrown it away. And brothers and sisters, that grieves the Holy Spirit, but it makes Satan rejoice. And if you can dissolve the home, Satan has power in governments, doesn't he? Our government is actively trying to destroy your home. Because, my friends, without the bounds and the bonds of the home in Christ, they can have you commercially, they can have you politically, and they can drive you anywhere they want to drive you. And, I'm not going to get too political here, but when they take away all of your God-given right to protect and defend yourselves, they can herd you up into trains and take you to places where you'll never be seen again. I wish people would just learn from history. Amen?
Amen.
Learn from history. That is Satan's goal. And he is on attack.
Yes.
And so, brothers and sisters, I respect the power of Satan, but I'm not to revere Satan.
Amen.
Okay?
No, that's right.
I've heard some people say, Satan ain't nothing. Get on out of here, you devil. You ain't nothing. You better watch it. You better watch it. Now, I know we can resist Satan and he'll flee from us. But you, my friends, though you don't revere Satan, you better be very ambivalent to poke the bear. Okay? You better give respect unto dominions, all right? Respect unto authorities. I'm not saying reverence, but I'm saying you need to keep in your mind. We're going to talk here about a Satan who's bound, but what's more dangerous than a tied up dog? What'll bite you worse than a tied up bear? Friends, we need to give respect unto the power that Satan wields even in this day. So let's look at some of these things. How is it that Satan is judged? And there's one more thought I want to give you. One more thought. Why is it that Satan would be released to exercise this great tribulation that is spoken of in the Word of God? Now, post-millennialists, bless their heart, they just think the world's going to get better and better and sweeter and kinder and kumbaya and all this kind of stuff, peace, love, and yada, yada. And then the gospel's going to overtake the globe and then Jesus is going to return. Well, how's that worked out thus far? Have y'all seen any evidence of that? No, the Bible tells me evil men and seducers shall what? Wax worse and worse. The hearts of many shall grow what? They'll wax cold. Okay? People will have what? Longing ears to hear the truth? No, they'll have itching ears heaping unto themselves these false teachers. And they'll turn away from truth and they'll turn to fables. So many indications and prophecies in the Word of God that tell us that this world in general is going to get worse and worse.
Right.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean it can't get better in particular.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right here.
That's right.
While the world burns around us, this Holy Spirit can shine in Buffalo Church.
Amen.
Sulphur Springs Church, Bethel Church, whatever church it may be. The Lord, my friends, has had His hand upon His people for 2,000 years. Think about what the church has had to face. And thanks be unto God, a bunch of little rednecks like us are here filling the house today, still today, in the power of Jesus Christ. Our Lord is real. We don't need to be embarrassed. We don't need to cede ground. We are on the high ground of Mount Zion, and we need to appreciate it and thank God for it. Okay? But before Jesus comes again, you know, think about when Jesus came the first time. I think the Jews were about as low on their bellies on the ground, morally, religiously. Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, everybody arguing. These poor little people hungering for Christ are just getting feet wiped all over them. Subjugated by the Roman Empire, they were in a pickle. They were in a low, low state. But Jesus came.
Jesus came,
my friends. He came into His own. His own received Him not. But thanks be unto God, as many as did receive Him. Amen? Yeah. As many as believed on His name were given unto them to become sons of God. And that word become means to make apparent. If you go do a word study.
Amen.
It doesn't mean to transition from dead to life. It means to manifest something. Like someone coming on a stage.
Yes.
Okay?
That's what
that word means. All right? And we today have become or been made manifest, thanks be unto God and His grace, as children of God. So, God withdrew for 400 years prophets and inspired Scripture for over 400 years between the book of Malachi being inspired and the coming on the scene of John the Baptist. And Kendra, let me understand something. God withdrew from them so that when Jesus Christ came on this scene, there would be absolutely no excuse for any Jew who had the spiritual vision to recognize Him. Let me tell you something. Any Jew who just believed the Scriptures, even spiritually dead, should have been able to recognize likenesses in this man.
Right.
But brothers and sisters,
yes,
a blinding had come down over them, over those who'd been born of the Spirit among that people. And of course, we know there were some that were not born of the Spirit among them who hated Christ and would have always hated Him.
Yeah.
They weren't able to see.
Right.
And now here we Gentiles have come in, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But before the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, friends, God is removing His bands from Satan. And it sounds dreadful. I don't look forward to what my children face. I mean, they're all full-grown hairy adults now. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they're full-grown. I'm waiting for grandkids. And one of these days, I want to have grandkids.
Nice.
And it just absolutely makes me afraid of what my grandkids are going to face.
Right.
But I want you to take heart in this. 150 years ago, people were saying the same thing about their grandchildren.
Right.
And I don't know about y'all, but I'm still having a great time in the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People say, well, I wouldn't dare bring children in this world. My goodness, don't seed ground. The Lord made you to reproduce. The Lord made you to raise a godly seed to His honor and glory. Don't seed that ground. But before Jesus comes back a second time, because the church will be so embattled and so beaten down and so diminished, I believe the church, the true church, those who are seeking Him in faith, they'll be here. I know the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But the gates of hell, my friends, will ravage the church. And the church will be very small and beleaguered. I'd like to think it's going to be here or down in Monroe County, Mississippi. But I don't know. The Lord knoweth. I know people preaching over in Switzerland years ago thought the same thing. But there's no PB church in Switzerland that I know of. My friends, don't you get disheartened when churches get low. Oh, we need to seek the Lord. We need to do the best we can. We need to pray. We need to be faithful. But don't let your confidence in the Lord's kingdom be destroyed because the church ceases to act here, but one will pop up over here. The Lord has done so for 2,000 years. The God that lived in the olden times is just the same today. He hasn't given up being God. Don't let your confidence be destroyed. Press the collar and say, Lord, Thy will be done. You can't control what other people do. You can just do what God give you to do. Just do it. Just do it and don't let your confidence be destroyed.
Amen.
But there won't be any question about the wickedness of natural man, either in the eyes of the regenerate, certainly in the eyes of the regenerate, but even in the unregenerate. When these restraints of law, code, when these restraints, most importantly, of the imposed power of Almighty God is removed, okay? Brothers and sisters, it's going to get so bad and somebody may say, is God cruel? that he would allow it to get so bad. No, my friends, God is sovereign.
Amen.
God got, somebody said, that doesn't sound fair. Fair is where you go to show your pigs. I don't want to hear about your fair. I do not want to hear about your fair. God is right. God is sovereign. Okay? And I'll tell you, God is more fair than... Oh, let me tell you something. I heard it preached last week. And do you think it's fair that he saved me? No, I ought to bust hell wide open in agony where my worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Thank God he's not fair. Or that's where I'd be. He's gracious. He's lifted me up and given me a hope in his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't want God to be fair. I want him to be right.
Amen.
Okay? God is right. He's sovereign. And it's going to be declared at the very end of all history, before he burns this universe to the ground, that friends, one of these days, we're all going to see, from the regenerate to the unregenerate, from the young to the old, exactly a glimpse, a powerful picture of just how wicked man is in his nature.
Right, right. Yes.
Even the wicked will marvel.
Yeah.
I know people, my friends, amen, and they'll not find it. I know people who are actively living sodomites who have, even they, in that aspect of their life, and let me tell you something, if they're not going to let that part of their life define the totality of who they are, I'm not going to either. I'm going to disagree with that part of their life. If they ask me about it, I'm going to tell them what I think about that part of their life. But I can tell you, I'm going to love them because I'm obligated to love them. All right? I'm going to try to be as friendly to them as I can. I'm going to try to be as helpful to them as I can. All right? But even these people who are actively living rebels against the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word are amazed at how crazy the world has gotten. They're amazed that there are drag queens. I'm not trying to be indelicate. My people down home say, Brother Joe, you ain't got to tell everything you know. But some things I do need to tell.
Amen.
We're living in a world now where these reprobates come into the very school systems and libraries and trying to assimilate themselves as normalcy to our children.
Right.
Don't you drink that deadly Kool-Aid, my friends. Don't you do it. I'll tell you, even people who rebel against God say, that is foolishness gone to seed. They've got enough sense to see what is going on with the world. Brothers and sisters, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's like something that has restrained us for so long is being removed, right?
Yeah.
The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Amen? It was working back in the days when John wrote that epistle. And I'll tell you, it's working even today. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. But I want to look real quickly in my closing time, just a couple minutes.
Go ahead.
Of how, in what ways do we say that Satan has been bound, that Satan has been judged? Because over in John chapter 16... he says of coming on the scene of this Comforter, it behooved us that he would go away, the Comforter would come, and reprove the world. And one of the ways, and since he said reprove the world, which basically means to convict or to show manifest the guiltiness of the world, one of the ways he said he would reprove the world, my friends, of righteousness, because of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged.
Right.
Here he was going to the cross. And he said, something's going to take place at my crucifixion for you that is going to judge, or extend, you know, put down, lay down judgment upon Satan. Now, I'm not going to go into why he's called the prince of this world, prince of the power of the air. Maybe there's lots of things to be said about that. But you know, he's Beelzebub, he's Lord of flies, and flies are in the air. And you know, the ancient Jews used to think that that's where the demons hung out. The invisible demons hung out in the atmosphere, the sky above. And that's one reason they think maybe he was alluded to in that way. I don't know, neither here nor there, but the Lord knoweth. But we know who's under consideration. Satan was judged at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In what ways was he judged? One, thank be unto God, he doesn't have the power to deceive the saints' consciences like he used to. Amen.
Yeah.
Every time a little believer believes and trusts that Jesus Christ is their only Savior. Now, a lot of people say that. But they'll say, because I exercise my faith in Him, I'm saved, and as long as I keep that faith in Him, I'll stay saved. Friend, your faith is in your faith.
Right.
Faith is a great thing. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not seen. But your faith, like my faith, is not like God's faith. God had faith in the blood of His Son. Jesus had faith in the goodness and the mercy of His Father. They all, three in one, my friends, are one big unit of trust. Perfect trust. I have no problem when the Bible speaks of God having faith. Faith is essentially a trust. And I'll tell you, thanks be unto God, we have no schism in the Godhead. Amen?
Amen?
Perfect trust that the redemptive work of the Lord will come to fruition.
Amen.
And now, friends, Satan is the deceiver. He's the greatest lawyer that has ever lived. I love Brother Tim McCool, Brother Chris McCool, and Brother Milam Kane, and all these brethren down there who are attorneys where I live. A bunch of lawyers. I tell you, a bunch of lawyers. And people talk mighty trashy of lawyers, but I can tell you, these are about the best lawyers I've ever known. They're good, God-fearing men.
Yeah.
But Satan is an expert of the law, and he wants to continually throw it back at you.
Right.
You who have come to a knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you never could have believed in Him had He not already quickened you and put in you the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. But once you get to the point of believing in Him and trusting in Him, you know what it said over Abraham over in Genesis chapter 15. I'll tell you, he had tried everything he knew to do. He had tried, my friends, to go in unto Hagar. He had tried to have Eleazar, his servant, be his heir. Right. But when it finally got to the point where he said, look, I'm so old and God is still persistent. Let me tell you something. God doesn't go back on His promises. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. When God promises something's going to be, it's going to be. And finally, Abraham had to let the last knot out of his rope and say, I have nowhere to fall but the everlasting arms of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness.
Amen.
He got an experience in trusting in the Lord. To what extent? Does he have the knowledge we had? I don't know about all that. But I do know this, my friends. In this day and age in which we live, the Holy Spirit moves and convicts us of sin. And my friends, has shown us our Savior. And we can rejoice in Him. And every time you believe in Him and your faith points to Him who has secured salvation for you, brothers and sisters, Satan is foiled one more time. Foiled one more time. Over in Hebrews chapter 2, it said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death.
Right.
That is, the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bond. How is it that Satan has power of death? Somebody, I've actually heard people say, well, you know what? Jesus wants you. And I'll tell you, if you don't give yourself to Jesus, then the devil's going to take you. Mm-hmm. Devil ain't going to take you nowhere.
Right.
If you're not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's going to take you somewhere.
Right.
God's going to put you somewhere.
Right.
A place reserved for the devil and his angels.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Prepared for the devil and his angels. Let me tell you something. Satan doesn't own you. Satan doesn't own the non-elect. Satan doesn't own the unregenerate. How's it going to say he has? What, it was Satan's fault that we fell in Adam? No, it was Adam's fault that we fell in Adam. So wasn't it God's fault? Don't you point a finger at my God and put that dastardly stuff on Him. Just because He knows something's going to happen, don't make Him that He had the volition to get it done. Okay? We fell in Adam. So what does he mean here? We have the power of death, the influence of death, the authority of death. Well, he's the expert lawyer and accuser and despiser of the elect. And I'll tell you, you've how many times gone to... I know y'all have had this experience, preacher, brethren. You go to a funeral and there's not a lot of primitive Baptists there. I went to one time and it was full of Pentecostal folks. Now, I will tell you something. It was my Aunt Neva's funeral. And it was there at Union Church, and there were some folks from Union Church there. Certainly a lot of primitive Baptists, but there were more Pentecostals there. It wasn't my Aunt Neva's funeral, excuse me. It was Sister Maxine who had come. She had been away from the church for many years, came back after her husband died. She had lived with him and among the Pentecostals, and now she's come back, and she was restored to the church and lived peaceably as a good primitive. She'd always been primitive Baptist in sentiment. I wish she'd stayed primitive Baptist in her living, but again, she's with the Lord now. She's better off than I am, okay? But at that funeral, her family was divided. I'm telling you, her family was fussing and fighting. And I'll tell you, I just prayed, Lord, and I was just a young whippersnapper. I said, Lord, just please let me preach to these people. These people need some preaching. I'll tell you, being around them, they were so foul and ugly to one another, snipping and snatting and pointing fingers at each other across Union Primitive Baptist Church. And I'm like, I ain't used to this, thank God. if y'all are used to it, I feel sorry for you. But I said, I'm not used to it. Lord, please bless me to preach the gospel. And the Lord gave me liberty that day to preach Jesus Christ. And Sister Maxine wanted me to preach an old Baptist hard Shelley sermon. And that's all I know to preach. Thank be unto God. And that's why I'm so poor. Okay? That's all right, though. That's all right, though. And the Lord blessed me to preach it. And I'm telling you, those people for a little while got happy, happy, happy.
Amen.
I wasn't preaching anything that Jimmy Swaggart would preach to them. I mean, what I was preaching, you couldn't mistake it for something else. I'll tell you, when the gospel has a certain sound,
right,
nothing else sounds alike, right?
That's right.
Okay? And I'll tell you, I preached it. And these Pentecostals for a little while got so happy, they thought they were Primitive Baptists. These people who'd been pointing at each other with tears in their eyes got up and started hugging one another. And I was like, why can't I have this power among Primitive Baptists sometimes? They were forgiving one another and loving one another under the sound of the gospel. Did any of them ever seek out a Primitive Baptist church? I don't think so. Why? Because Satan will get in that ear. He said, it's just too simple.
Right.
It can't all be of God. Don't you know you've got to do something? Don't you know you've done something all your life? You've sinned against God. You low down, no good bushwhacking sinner. You've offended your God. You've offended other people. You've talked bad about. You've done drugs and you've done alcohol and you've lived in all kinds of adultery and things of that nature. You're no good. There's no good. The blood of Christ is not sufficient by itself. You've got to get right. You've got to get circumcised. You've got to go to the altar. You've got to pray through and hold on and hang out until you die. You, it's in you. Let me tell you something, my friends. It's in Him.
Amen.
And when you believe in Him, it frees you from you.
Yes, that's right. Amen. It's liberty, brother.
I need to be freed from me.
Amen. Yeah.
And every time I trust in Jesus, Satan is foiled a little bit more.
Yes, He is. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
God be praised.
These little children, they need to trust in Jesus Christ.
Right.
I heard Elder Lonnie Mazingo Jr. preach one time. He said, look, our children don't need more clubs. They don't need more Disney trips. They don't need more clubs. And they don't need more Sunday schools. They need to see the Holy Ghost come down.
Yeah.
They need to see people washing one another's feet.
Yeah.
They need to learn how to truly worship the Lord, not how to color. They already know how to color.
Yeah.
Teach them how to worship.
Yeah, that's right.
Let them see a place where the Holy Ghost stirs the congregation,
yeah,
and tears come,
yeah,
forward,
right,
and people shout with joy and with agony. But the agony is always invariably with a view to Christ turned to joy.
Amen. Yeah,
that's our,
right,
God.
Amen.
I'll tell you, I got to sit down. I didn't
no,
get.
You don't.
Oh, I do. I do. I got to give way. I'm telling you, I meant to get a lot. I know it's been scattered, y'all. I didn't. I'm not the preacher that I want to be. I've always wanted to be. Where's Brother Ronald at? I've always wanted to be that preacher.
He's all of our goals.
Amen. I love you, Brother Ronald. I do. And I'm getting out of your way, and I hope and pray the Lord bless you to stir,
amen,
this congregation with a higher view of Jesus Christ, high and lifted up,
amen,
the Lord of hosts. And we'll all leave here today with this spirit. Here am I. Send me. Send me, Lord. Send me to my workplace. Send me to my family. Send me to the corner across from the abortion clinic. Wherever you lead me, Lord, send me. Here am I. Come ahead, brethren. Love you.
Praise God.
For we can work.